The Spanish conquistadores who came to the Americas something like over 400 years ago were obsessed with finding the hidden treasure of El Dorado. In fact, the colonization of the nation of Colombia in South America took shape by the dream of the Spanish conquistadores as they searched for hidden treasure. El Dorado was a promised land of an empire of gold and emeralds that the Spanish conquistadores were just waiting to uncover, digging through the hills and mountains of Colombia. They combed the land of Colombia and quite often found gold on the Indians and heard them tell stories of immense buried treasures. The name El Dorado means the gilded one, or one who is covered in gold. According to one of the legends, the Indians of Colombia were known to throw gold offerings into a lake, and their chief, the chief of the Indians, was covered in gold dust, and he would bathe himself in the golden waters. That's where the name El Dorado came from. And this legend was taken literally by the Spanish, and they had a gold fever amongst them to try to find these hidden treasures that were supposedly buried in the land of Colombia. Now, eventually, they did find some gold and some valuable artifacts, but not really the amount that they had hoped for and desired. But they continued and continued to pillage the countryside in their thirst for hidden treasure. Jesus Christ told a parable about hidden treasure as he taught the disciples. And he taught them about, as he was teaching them, about the kingdom of God. And that parable about hidden treasure had great significance for not only them as disciples, but for us today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll look at verse number 44. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Chapter 13 of Matthew actually has several parables that Jesus Christ told in one day. And these were parables, especially the parable that we're going to look at in verse number 44, that was told to the disciples. Matthew chapter 13, and let's read in verse 44. Again, a chapter that has several parables that Christ told on one day. Verse 44, he says, again, because there was another parable that he was giving, again, the kingdom of heaven, which also is the kingdom of God. Matthew used the terms kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God interchangeably. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Notice, this is treasure that's hidden in the ground that this particular individual found. Now, this story might seem strange to each and every one of us because we do not generally hide our valuables in the ground. Most people today use banks to put their money and their valuables in them. Now, in the ancient world, banks did exist, but the ordinary people, the common man, did not have access to them or generally use them. So the people used the ground to hide many of their valuables. And this particular man, when he realizes the great value of this field because of the hidden treasure, he sells everything else he has to obtain it. Now, let's turn back just one page to the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 13 and verse number 1. Chapter 13, verse number 1, Matthew writes here in verse number 1 and verse number 2, on the same day, because this was a day when Jesus gave multiple parables, starting with the sower and the seed and continuing on with other parables, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house where he had been assembled with the disciples, and sat by the sea. Verse number 2. And great multitudes, Matthew doesn't say how many people, but there was obviously many, many people. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So this was when he got out on the boat with the multitude on the shore, that was like an amplifier effect as he was speaking to the people on that day. And then the first part of verse number 3, Matthew says, then he spoke many things to them, to the multitudes, in parables. And then it starts with the last part of verse number 3, going through verse number 8, the parable of the sower and the seed. Now let's drop down to verse number 10, because Matthew indicates that he spoke many things in parables to the multitudes. Then verse number 10, the disciples approached Christ. Verse 10, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? This caught the attention of the disciples, because previously he'd been speaking in the synagogues. Now he comes out into the multitudes and begins to speak to them in a different form, in parables. And it caught their attention. Why are you speaking to all these multitudes in parables? He gives them the answer in verse number 11. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the multitudes, it has not been given. So Christ made the point that it's been given to you, disciples, to know or to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the multitudes it has not. Now, if you have a marginal reference like my Bible does, where it says the mysteries of the kingdom, the marginal reference is of hidden truths. Hidden truths. And Christ gave the parables to disciples to understand. It wasn't for the multitudes to understand, but for the disciples to know, specifically, knowledge. The hidden truths, the knowledge of the kingdom. And then with this analogy in verse number 44, about the hidden treasure, Christ uses that as an analogy that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like treasure. Especially the knowledge of the kingdom of God. It's so very valuable. Knowledge that has been revealed to each and every one of us. And it's precious knowledge. The title of today's sermon is The Precious Knowledge of the Kingdom. The Precious Knowledge of the Kingdom. Today, let's realize and value how precious the knowledge of the kingdom is to us as disciples. As Christ put it, it's like treasure, the knowledge of the kingdom. God certainly has given us precious knowledge. He's opened our minds to understand what he has planned for all of mankind, for the future of mankind, when Jesus Christ returns to rule this earth, and the peace and abundance that will take place upon his rule. Wonderful knowledge he has given to us. In just one more week, a week from today actually, we will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, the first holy day, which pictures the millennium, the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ, and the wonderful world tomorrow. The knowledge of the kingdom is our precious treasure. Just like this man found this hidden treasure and realized the value of it, the knowledge of the kingdom is our precious treasure. This knowledge is more valuable than any wealth that we can accumulate in this world. Any monetary figures or any gold, silver, whatever it might be. And we need to put all of our efforts into going forward towards the kingdom. Seeking it just like this man was described. Selling everything that he had. In other words, putting all effort into that treasure as we treasure the knowledge of the kingdom. Let's go down to verse number 34 of this chapter. Matthew 13, verse number 34. Again, we read that it was the same day that Jesus assembled with the disciples and was speaking to the multitudes. Verse number 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And remember, he said, they don't understand. It's only you disciples that understand the mysteries, the hidden truths. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. So all that he spoke to them on that day was in parables. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and this is from the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 2, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things, notice this, kept secret from the foundation of the world. Things kept secret from the foundation of the world. The hidden truths kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, the message about the kingdom of God. Continuing on, then verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. So that great multitude that was gathered, he told them to disperse. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Of course, he's going to assemble with the disciples now. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field, which is one of the parables that he gave on that day. And then verse 37 through verse 43 is the explanation of one of those parables, the parable of the tares of the field. Now let's go back to verse number 44 again, because he was given multiple parables on this day. So we see this word again in verse number 44, because it was another parable that Christ gave. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Now, this was a simple story, a very simple story. And the crowds, the multitudes, they would have related to this because they knew what it was to hide their valuables in the ground. But it was told to the disciples. It was told to the disciples and not for the crowds. Because this is things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Message of the kingdom that they would not understand. Continuing on, like treasure hidden in a field. Hidden here, it says, this was, as I mentioned, it was typical for the Jews to hide valuables in the ground. In fact, the Roman historian Josephus wrote that the Romans actually discovered that a lot of the Jews were hiding valuables in the ground, and they would force them to tell them where they were hidden so that the Romans could dig them up and, you know, of course, carry them away. So it was typical for the Jews to do that. But treasure hidden in a field here is symbolic. It reflects back to what we read in verse 35, that it was the knowledge was hidden from creation, from the foundation of the world, referring to the fact that the knowledge of the kingdom has been hidden from the majority of mankind. It's only been opened up to us. God has opened our minds to understand it. And all of us that are going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and worshiping God, God has opened our minds to that. Christ is the revealer of truth. And he reveals his message to minds that are opened by the Father. And when God opens our minds to understand the truth, to understand the knowledge of the kingdom, it is treasure found. Treasure found. A good question for all of us here today. Do we value this knowledge the way that we should? Notice it says here in the middle of verse number 44, that was treasure hidden in a field which a man found. Now, how many people actually find treasure? You know, we have a lot of plants in our backyard and several trees. And over the last almost 15 years now, I've been digging a lot of holes back there planting trees. I've never come across any treasure. I don't know about how many of you, Tommy Runnels and some of you that do a lot of things, if you've ever found any treasure. It's not something that typically is done. But this man found hidden treasure. Here's an interesting comment from Expositor's Commentary. It says this. Actually, to find a treasure would happen once in 1,000 lifetimes. Thus, the extravagance of the parable dramatizes the supreme importance of the kingdom. The supreme importance of the kingdom. And continuing on here in the last part of verse 44. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Over, and joy over it. He was joyful because he knows the value of what he had found. And that represents a couple of things. That represents a couple of things. The joy over it. It represents for us the joy of knowing God's plan of Jesus Christ returning to this earth and his millennial rule, the peace and happiness and abundance that will take place. That's joyful knowledge that we have. And it also represents the joy that will take place in the millennium when crime has been eliminated. People that had been previously starving have enough food to eat. There's plenty for all. There's going to be a lot of joy in the kingdom. And this represents that as well. And then the last part of verse number 44, he sells all that he has to buy the land. That's the sacrifice that he made. He made a sacrifice. And the kingdom and the knowledge of the kingdom is worth every sacrifice that we can make. Every sacrifice that we can make. And that's a great lesson that we can learn from this parable of the hidden treasure. Is it's worth every sacrifice that we make to go forward towards the kingdom. The joy of the man finding the treasure made him willing to give up everything to obtain that treasure, describing his all-out effort in the process. And the hidden treasure, figurative of the kingdom, was so precious to him that he obtains it after his all-out effort. Let's go back a few pages to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read verses 19 through 21. This was Christ teaching about values and what the true focus of disciples should be. Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 19. I'm going to take a drink of water real quick here. This is something in a couple of days I won't be able to do, but enjoying it now. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. Christ says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where three thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ says here, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, the Pharisees, who were against Christ during this time in the first century A.D., they were focused, unfortunately, on building treasure. They focused on riches, the love of wealth. And Christ was concerned about disciples not having misplaced values, but have the right values. And treasures on earth is referring to material objects that are subject to decay, also are subject to theft. A thief can break in and steal what treasures you have. I like a comment from the Bible Knowledge Key Word Study about our English word treasure here. Here's what it says. But our word treasure. The time and energy and resources disciples expend doing God's will produces something of greater and more lasting worth than the similar effort in acquiring earthly treasure. Time, energy, and resources doing God's will. That's what disciples are doing by laying up treasures in heaven. He says, lay up treasures in heaven. We could say serving as Christ did. He came to serve mankind. Righteous deeds, helping others, others that have need, forgiving others can certainly be laying up treasure in heaven. And also developing character, abiding in Christ and developing godly character. That's ways of laying up treasure in heaven. Hold your place in chapter 6 here of Matthew. And let's go forward to Matthew chapter 19. If you've got a card or marker put it here in Matthew 6. And let's go to Matthew chapter 19. And let's read verses 16 through 21. You'll recognize this particular story. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16, beginning in verse 16. Now behold, Matthew writes, one came and said to him, so an individual approaches Jesus Christ, and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Christ gave him the answer, beginning in verse 17. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, remember that's what the fellow asked, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus summarizes the commandments here. He says, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In verse number 20, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. In other words, I've been keeping the commandments like you have mentioned. What do I still lack? In verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, which is what he asked to, what I can do to enter into life. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Sell what you have. The kingdom and eternal life is worth selling everything that one has to obtain it. In other words, dedicating one's life to following Jesus Christ and going forward towards the kingdom. He also mentioned the good thing, act of service, to learn from me, follow in my footsteps. All right, let's go back to chapter 6 again. Talking about this treasure in heaven. Chapter 6, and let's focus on, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 21 again. Christ said to the disciples, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. So the focus of the heart is a critical matter. What is mostly treasured in the heart? Again, using the Bible Knowledge keyword study about our English word heart, it says this. What people pursue by investing time, energy, and resources reveals the disposition of their hearts, what they truly love and value. Again, there it is. Time, energy, and resources. Our dedication is where our heart is. The vision of the kingdom is so very important as well. Our goals and our purposes. Focusing on the kingdom, which we are beginning to do now as we focus on going to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll hear sermons there about the wonderful world tomorrow, the kingdom of God. Focusing on that vision, our goal and our purpose. Continuing on, let's go down to verse number 25. Christ said this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Not to worry about the physical things. And you know, we live right now in very uncertain times. Our economy is very, very fragile. You don't have to dial around too much on the news to understand that our economy could sink at any time. But God knows our needs. He knows our needs. And there's the promise to take care of those who trust in him. Continuing on, verse number 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Especially when God can look at the heart of an individual and see that they are dedicated to him and following him and have that vision. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And you've heard me say multiple times in past sermons that the people in the first century A.D., when Matthew was writing this, and when Jesus Christ was speaking these things, they were worried about where their food was going to come from. People in the first century A.D. were generally very, very poor. Most lived from day to day, not even knowing if they could feed the family the next day. And Christ's point to them was, don't worry, trust in the Father, and he will take care of you. And then we come to verse number 33, the first priority of a disciple. Oh, actually, I missed verse 32. For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Then verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's our highest priority as disciples. To seek the kingdom of God. That's our treasure. That's our treasure. And we have to put effort into it. All of our needs will be supplied in God's timing. He knows when we have those needs. When God calls us, He's called each and every one of us. We're here on this Sabbath day worshiping Him. He's opened our minds to understand His plan of salvation, the next holy day that's coming up, the Day of Atonement, what that signifies, then the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day, the eighth day. God has given us something special that billions of people upon this planet do not have. The understanding that there is hope for all of mankind, that God has a purpose for man, and that there is a wonderful future coming. That's precious knowledge, brethren. That's treasure. And God has given it to us. We've been so very, very blessed. But it's up to us. It's up to us to keep that vision alive. It must be something that we do on a daily basis, not just every now and then. Again, as the Bible Knowledge Commentary put it, time, resources, and energy involved with the heart. Seeking the kingdom first is a priority. And that can be accomplished by our communication with our great God, our daily study of God's Word, taking in His Word, also our communication to Him in our prayer life, as we pray to Him, not only for our needs, but for the needs of other brethren around the world and those in our congregation that are sick, etc., and praying for His kingdom to come, developing that relationship with our great God. That communication is a way of seeking the kingdom first. And also keeping the vision alive through our study, looking at those scriptures. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and there's so many of those scriptures that we come across that has that phrase, in that day. The events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ and the wonderful things that are going to take place after the terrible things happen because of the judgment that will come upon this earth. But to keep that vision alive of the kingdom. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, talking about keeping that vision alive. Revelation chapter 21. Here's some scriptures that we can look at to keep that vision alive of seeking that treasure, the knowledge of the kingdom. Revelation chapter 21. And let's pick it up in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. The Apostle John writing here says, verse 1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse number 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And remember we talked about the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, Bible study in Leviticus, that was where God's presence was symbolized to be. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And relationships are going to be developed with our great God as we are with him. Verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Talk about joyful times. We're reading it right here. It's a vision that we need to keep alive. Dropping down to verse number 7. He who overcomes, here's something incentive for us, each and every one of us as disciples, incentive for us to be doing these things. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And it shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That describes a special relationship, a family relationship, and to be part of the family of God. And the kingdom of God is the family of immortal spirit beings, including God and all his children. Wonderful things to contemplate and to keep that vision alive for us as disciples, that heavenly treasure. It says here, he who overcomes, that does give us incentive to work. Remember that individual, that man that found the hidden treasure? He put so much effort into it. He sold everything that he had to buy that land. Gives us incentive to work on ourselves, to have that special relationship with God. It's a challenge because we are human beings and we do make mistakes, but the rewards are great to go forward towards the kingdom and to be a part of the family of God. God has revealed to us the promise of eternal life. And that is the greatest treasure. Let's go to Romans. We're winding down now. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's read verses 16 through 19. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 16. The Apostle Paul writes here, verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We become God's children through receiving the Holy Spirit, which joins with each of our human spirit. And verse number 17 talks about joint heirs with Christ, with the destiny of inheriting all things. Continuing on, verse number 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Glory revealed in us. Good vision to keep alive. Verse number 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Revealing of the sons of God to inherit eternal life and to be part of the family of God. That's precious knowledge, brethren. That's treasure. And we should value that knowledge that God has given to us. Finally, let's look at another prophecy. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. This is a prophecy of tremendous changes to take place. And you know, I've been telling you in the Bible study series on Isaiah that Isaiah does a lot of shifting. He'll be talking about events that are taking place in his day and time, and then suddenly shift to focus on the future, especially in that day, events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. But here in Isaiah chapter 35, he doesn't shift. The whole chapter is focused on the millennium and the great things that will take place in that day. Isaiah chapter 35 in verse number 1. Here's things that we can focus on to keep that vision alive, these prophecies. Isaiah 35 verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Physical healings of the earth that are going to take place when Christ sets up the kingdom. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Imagine that, to be able to look upon God's glory, the excellency, the glory of the Lord. Verse number 3, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With recompense of God, he will come and save you. And verse number 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Wonderful healings that are going to take place. People that previously could not see or could not hear. Imagine the rejoicing that's going to be taking place with them. I can see. And I couldn't see all my life that I lived as a human being. Now I can see. Now I can hear. A joyful time. But not only that, more importantly, the spiritual healing that's going to take place. Those that have been blind to God's way of life and keeping God's commandments and God's word for virtually 6,000 years of mankind's history. Their minds are going to be opened up. Light is going to be shining in their minds to understand God's way. And they're going to be taught by shepherds over them. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And of course, water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be part of the teaching to these people in the kingdom. Focusing on Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they do that, they'll be on their way, their steps through going towards salvation. Verse number 7, the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lands springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Verse number 8, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness, because people are going to be led down God's path of holiness, taught his way of life, symbolic of being on the path of life. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others, whoever walks the road, although a fool shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, verse number 9, nor any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there. No, we're not going to have those beasts that could kill people, etc. But the redeemed shall walk there. And finally, verse number 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, to Jerusalem, with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Wonderful prophecies to focus upon, to keep that vision alive. Not only the abundance that will take place in the future, the wonderful physical healings that will take place, but even more important, the spiritual healings that will take place. The joy and the gladness and sorrow and sighing fleeing away. We have been given, each and every one of us, the most precious treasure that could be given to any people. The knowledge of the kingdom and God's plan of salvation for mankind. A vision of what God has planned for each and every one of us. The Feast of Tabernacles that we are going to be keeping a week from today helps us keep that vision because it pictures that wonderful, glorious future. Let's continue now, this fall festival season, with a renewed vigor and enthusiasm. There's treasure. We have treasure. Let's value that treasure that God has given to us. Let's truly put our hearts and minds to reflect upon, to learn more of this valuable treasure that God has allowed us to find. Let's keep the vision alive and truly seek the kingdom first in our lives, seeking the hidden treasure of the kingdom of God.